How well do you know chalk and milk paint? The differences between the two of them, that is, and their unique properties. Well, today we are featuring our second game show series, and it's all about chalk and milk paint. Well, to be honest, a few other unrelated but fun trivia questions will be peppered in. Hang on, as three furniture refinishers, Sarah Bolton, Summer Berube, and Katie Scott, will play and compete in the Furniture Feud. Seeing the value in damaged and discarded pieces is part of the refinisher's eye, and Cindy with Reinvented Delaware has some great tips on the process of keeping parts and pieces from projects that can actually be used to create new value-laden gems. Want to know more about the people that make up the Zebra Crew? I have the privilege of working with an incredible team of friends, and today we are going to chat with Bree Hansen, our VP of Sales. You'll love learning more about her exciting background in the fashion industry and a few peeks into some exciting Zebra developments. As always, we'll provide you with a few bulletin board notes in our newsworthy section. I'm your Zebra host, Lane Ball. Welcome to Zebra's Before and After. Who doesn't like to have fun and play games? Well, I guess it really depends on what type of game, right? Well, here at Zebra, we like to have fun, and we thought there is no better way to do that with you all than by creating a furniture refinishing game for refinishers on the podcast. We're calling it the Furniture Feud. Now, don't be sidetracked by its name. The game is really not about feuding. We just put that in the name because it had a neat ring to it. We really should call it the Furniture Fun Game because the goal is to have fun and laugh a little. Now, let's have some fun on the Furniture Feud. Today's contestants on the Furniture Feud are three incredibly talented furniture refinishers. Our first contestant is from the Midwest state of Indiana. She always has a smile on her face as well as her kids, at least when she is filming her stories. She has been featured on our podcast several times sharing about her winning furniture pieces. Let me introduce you to Sarah Bolton of Sitting Pretty Home Decor. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Our second contestant resides in the New England state of New Hampshire. She is busy raising three kids and producing what seems is a continual flow of beautiful farmhouse style furniture pieces. Let me introduce you to Summer Berube of Pinewood Charm. Welcome, Summer.
Hi, Lane. Thanks for having me.
Our third and final contestant is way up north in Canadian country in southern Ontario. She is always creating, refinishing, and incorporating her husband and two boys. I know this is redundant for many of you, but she produced a piece of furniture that will forever be ingrained in my mind. It's the Art Deco style nightstands that had that Restoration Hardware aeronautical look. Let me introduce you to Katie Scott of Salvage by K Scott. Welcome, Katie.
Hi, Lane. Hi, girls.
Hi, Katie.
Hey, Katie. Hi, Sarah.
Okay, contestants, are you all three ready to play the Furniture Feud?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm ready.
But are they ready?
That's right.
Are you ready to get beat?
All right. I'm warning you listeners, we got a competitive group here. Of course, not that the last group was not competitive. They were pretty competitive too. You know, we should note that because we're dealing with sound and not sight, it's extremely important that you have your sound maker ready for each of the game questions. Listeners, each of the contestants were asked to find a sound maker that would identify who they are. It will be my job to keep track of what noise goes with each contestant. Okay, when I call your name, sound your sound. Sarah. Hey, that's a rattle. Now, let me clarify something. That's not a dried rattle from a rattlesnake, is it?
No, but I'm sure I could probably find one somewhere around here.
Yeah, well, I'm familiar with those in North Carolina as well. Now, why did you choose the rattle?
They're abundant around here.
Yeah, your husband keeps a stash of them in his toolbox, right?
Yes. I mean, there's probably one in my purse, so.
That's right. All right. Summer?
Oh.
Uh-oh. What happened to you, Summer?
I smell weakness.
My bell is a little old.
There you go. Now, why did you choose the bell, Summer?
Because other than a bunch of boys' toys, this was the only cute little thing that I had to make noise with.
Okay. Well, at least it's distinguishable from the rattle. We'll see if Katie's is. Katie, what's your sound? Well, you chose something that required some work. It certainly is original. I have to hand it to you, Katie. Now, are you in the kitchen?
No, I'm actually hiding in my bedroom with a pot and a spoon.
There you go. That's great. Okay, those are really good. Now, today's game topic will be, how well do you know chalk and milk paint? I'll be asking 12 questions and a bonus question that evolve around the unique differences of chalk and milk paints, and a few random unrelated questions intermingled for fun. Now, once I ask the question, then you are free to make your noise, and the first person I hear will get called on to answer the question. A quick warning here. If you make your sound before I finish the question, you will be disqualified for that question. If you get the question right, that's right. If you get the question right, you get 5 points. Now, whoever has the most points at the end of the game wins the game. In case you all make your noises at the same time and I can't tell who chimed in first, I have your names in a bowl and I will draw out your names to see who will answer. All right, you guys ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, just as a side note, just remember, as I said to our last game show contestants, be patient with me. I'm not the best multitasker. And plus, I just want to add, I came from the grocery store, and those one-way aisles really are messing me up big time.
Me too.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's hard enough for me on one-way streets, but then you put me in a grocery store trying to find things that I can't find, and then put one-way aisles in the grocery store. I mean, it's tough.
Makes you feel incompetent.
You know what? That's it to a key. That's a good way to describe it. Okay. Question number one. Now, this question is multiple choice. Listen carefully. Which paint comes in the form of a powder? A, chalk paint. B, latex paint. C, milk paint. Or D, somebody got disqualified.
I did already.
I tell you, Katie, you were on it.
I was excited for that one.
I know. All right. Well, at least this was just the first question, so you probably learned your lesson, right? Okay, so I'm going to repeat those again. So Summer and Sarah have the upper hand here. Okay, so the question is, which paint comes from the form of a powder? A, chalk paint. B, latex paint. C, milk paint. Or D, none of the above. I believe Summer got that one. Summer, what's the answer?
C, milk paint.
All right. Good job. All right. So Summer gets 5 points for question one. Okay. Question number two. This question is multiple choice. Is powdered milk paint A, solvent-based, B, organic-based, C, acrylic-based, or D, all of the above? The rattle got it. So Sarah?
B, organic-based.
Sorry, I had a little bit of day. I got my hands full here. I know. I like to add suspense there.
Like, what happened?
Okay. Question number three. Name at least four movies that Harrison Ford has played in.
Oh, no.
I don't think any Harrison Ford fans, do we? Okay. Oh. How about, let's do this, okay? We're gonna pause.
I can only name one.
Well, I was going to, you know what I was going to do? I was going to say, I was going to rephrase I was going to refine the answer to name at least three movies that Harrison Ford has played in. All right. Okay. I'm going to do this one. Name at least two movies that Harrison Ford has. Okay. Sarah?
No, Summer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Thank you. See, I told you I need help. Thanks for being honest, Sarah. Summer, what are the two movies that Harrison Ford has played in that you can recall?
Indiana Jones, of course.
Okay.
And I think the other one I can think of is The Fugitive.
Yeah, that's good.
Yay!
I thought maybe you were going to say Star Wars.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
I would have just said Indiana Jones 1 and 2.
That's where I was going to.
You would have done well. All right, that's good. Now, so are you guys just not Harrison Ford fans? I mean, I thought you guys would have been all over this question.
I think I'm just so out of the entertainment loop. Can you ask me a question about Baby Rattles? I'm on it.
There you go.
We know kids movies and yes. Kids stuff.
Well, the funny thing is I had my full list of all the Harrison Ford movies since, let's see, from 1966 all the way to 2021.
Wow. Oh,
that's weird. Wow. 2021. Wait a minute. Now, I got that out of Wikipedia. Maybe they need to go back and they're looking forward to maybe some possible new Indiana Jones films or something. So, okay, question number 4. It's a multiple choice question. How long has milk paint been around? A, thousands of years. B, hundreds of years. C, since 2002. Or D, for a few months. Summer.
B, hundreds of years.
I'm sorry, oh, Summer.
Man.
Okay. Does anybody else know the question or know the answer? Okay, go for it.
Milk paint has been around for thousands of years.
Wow, that's excellent, Katie.
Yeah.
That's very good. Okay.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
The cavemen were using it.
I was tempted to say it.
Sources say the oldest painted surfaces on Earth were colored with a form of milk paint. So that's the reason why they go back so far.
Wow.
Okay. Mm. Okay, let's take a quick tally to see where our contestants are on their scores. Okay, Sarah has 5, Summer has 10, and Katie has 5. Okay. Now you
coming awesome. For you, Summer.
Question number 5. Do people actually use milk from the refrigerator to mix powdered milk paint? Sarah.
No.
Now, why is that, Sarah? It's milk paint.
It is. It has milk proteins in it, but you mix it with water.
Okay, very good. That really should have been before, but we're okay with that. Okay, question number 6. Is chalk paint for furniture the same as chalkboard paint? Summer.
No.
Very good. It does have different ingredients. You can't write on chalk-painted furniture with chalk. At least it isn't designed for that. So, very good. Question number 7. This is a movie trivia question. We didn't do too well on the last one, so we'll try it again, all right? Okay, so listen carefully. At which big holiday was Kevin left alone in the home? Sarah.
At Christmas.
I am
What's
so
happening?
Sorry. Sorry about that. Actually, Sarah, this is what you're supposed to get.
You're killing me.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm killing myself here.
It was Sarah.
Oh, man. Question number 8. What year was the original chalk paint created and by whom?
Oh, no. I know half of the answer.
I know who. Me too.
That's
not,
yeah.
Let's go for the deeper answer here for the date. Okay, how about we do this? You want to do a multiple choice?
Yes.
Okay, sure.
I'll give you A, B, C, and D. Here we go. A, 1962. B, 1652. C, 1990. Or D, 1901. Sarah.
1990?
You got it. That was good. All right. Now, what was the, What was the other part of the answer to the question? Who was the original?
Is it Annie Sloan?
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, very good. Okay, time to check scores again. So our score tally is Sarah has 20, Summer has 15, and Katie has 5. All right, question number 9. Which zebra paintbrush is designed with a 2-inch flat surface, yet includes an angled edge, making it great for flat surface painting and edging applications? Sarah. Sorry, I had to think through that.
The 2-inch chiseled wedge.
Great. That is impressive. And you did it so quickly, too. Excellent. But I think probably all three of you knew the answer to that, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Whatever you say. Whatever you say.
Well, if you didn't know the answer, then that means you need to get one, right?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to throw you a bit of a refinisher's curveball for question number 10. What is the term or technique that painters use when they apply gold paint or hammered thin sheet of gold paper to a piece of furniture? Summer.
Gilding.
Very Woo-hoo! Good. Impressive. Okay, question number 11. Name at least one way you can keep authentic powdered milk paint from chipping. Does anybody... My mind just cramped there for a minute. Was there a clear winner? You all three of you guys are so honest. Was there did somebody...
I think we all chimed in at the same time.
I think we all chimed in at the same time.
Okay, so now it's time for my bowl with the three names in it. So I'm going to reach into the bowl, pull out a...
It's a magic hat, isn't it?
Not really. It's just a little clear dish. All right. Katie.
Oh, thank goodness. I got some catching up to do. The answer is Extra Bond.
Very good. Yeah, I think Katie knows a little bit about milk paint, don't you? Very good. Question number 12. This is multiple choice. Now, since it's spring and we all love spring and summer is around the corner, summer is with us, but I'm talking about the season, not our contestant, but she is sort of around the corner too. And she,
I'm right here. Kind of, sort of.
Question number 12. How much water is present in watermelon? A, 25%, B, 45%, C, 10%, or D, 92%? Summer.
92%.
Whoa. Man, you know about watermelon, don't you?
I have a lot of useless knowledge in this brain.
Yes, you do.
You make for interesting company at a social party, right? I mean, because that's a great trivia question there.
Sometimes.
So we just tallied our scores, and for a final score check before the bonus question, this is what we have. Sarah has 25, Summer has 25, and Katie has 15. So now we're ready for the bonus question. It's worth 10 points. So Katie,
watch out,
it's worth
Sarah.
10 points.
Oh boy.
We may have a three-way tie, and I don't think I have another question. Okay. Now just remember this. If you answer it correctly, you get the 10 points, but if it's incorrect, you get a negative 5 points. Okay,
so. Oh no.
Here is the question. Describe the technique wet distressing and tell us if you can use wet distressing when working with chalk and milk paints. Katie.
Oh, what a relief.
Come on, Katie.
pressure.
Okay, now I have to get it right. So wet distressing is when you use water on a wet cloth or rag to remove some of your painted finish on high areas. And you can use it on chalk paint and milk paint. Milk paint can be a little bit trickier, though.
Great answer.
That was great. That was absolutely excellent. Now, what that means, my friends, is that we have no winner and no loser, because Katie now has 25 points, Summer has 25, and Sarah has 25. So all three of you did a phenomenal job, and I don't even have, you know, I guess you learned your lesson. It's unfortunate I don't have a bonus question.
We're all winners.
Are you guys okay with all being winners?
Of course.
I guess so.
All right. Well, let me just tell you what you each win. Each of you get 1 2-inch chisel wedge, because that was featured in our game, and you all get one each of the two Palm Pros. We have a thick filament pack out for a Palm Pro, and we also have a thin filament pack out. So you'll get, each of you will get 3 of those brushes. So
awesome.
Because you're all winners.
That's
today.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's great. Well, thanks again to all three of you for coming on as our furniture refinishing contestants.
Thank you, Lane.
Thanks for having us. That was really fun.
Thanks for having us. That was fun.
If you have a refinishing tip that you would like to share, send me an email at lane@enjoyzebra.com. Make sure you spell zebra with an I. Put refinishing tip in the subject line and describe the tip in the email. Today's refinishing tips come from Cindy of Reinvented Delaware. Cindy and her husband are constantly tackling tough projects that need a lot of repair, and they are known for taking unusual parts of projects to create new ones. Listen in on the tips that they use to navigate through their refinishing endeavors. Today we are featuring 3 of those tips, and we'll highlight the remaining 3 next week.
One of the tips that I have is to learn to look beyond what you see at first glance. Many pieces that you see are just a little bit dirty and a little bit dingy. All they need are some minor repairs. Most pieces just need a little bit of love. Don't be afraid to learn how to repair furniture. It's an invaluable skill to have in this business. Another tip I have is to collect all furniture parts. I know this sounds crazy, but if a chair is broken, save the spindles. If a tabletop is made from particle board, but the legs are in good shape, keep the legs. Save decorative parts of furniture that have fallen off of an original piece. That furniture part can be used to embellish an otherwise plain piece of furniture. Save and collect vintage hardware, even if you do not have matching pieces. We have used mismatched hardware to create an original piece of assembled hardware. The back plate of a doorknob and an oak wood button knob look really great together.
Thanks, Cindy, for sharing these tips with us. We look forward to hearing the remaining 3 tips from this series next week. If you'd like to learn more about Cindy and their work, her website is reinventeddelaware.com. Her social media accounts are also under the name Reinvented Delaware. Since joining Zebra less than a year ago, Bree Hansen has already contributed greatly to the success of Zebra. She left the glamour of a New York City fashion career to be a part of the Zebra crew. We love the insight and talent she brings to the table. Hi, Bree. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Hi, Lane. Thanks for having me.
You know, this seems a bit odd to chat with you on the podcast, because you and I communicate often as sales and marketing, and we work pretty closely together. I am excited to have you on, and I know listeners will love learning more about you and certainly hearing from another member of the Zebra crew. So let's go ahead and start by having you tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm originally from North Carolina, but for the past 10 years, I've actually spent some time in New York City, where I've worked in several different jobs in the fashion industry. And I just decided to move back to North Carolina, to Charlotte, actually last summer with my husband. And we recently had our first baby this spring. She was born in February. It was a little girl, and her name is Emma.
Wow, she is a cute and beautiful little thing. I always enjoy seeing those pictures. We hadn't had a chance to meet her yet because of all of this pandemic, so we're excited to get to see her soon. You know, it's always quite a transition going from a couple to now a couple with a little one. How has that been for you guys?
Yeah, no kidding. It's even a bigger transition than I thought it was going to be, but she is great. I love being her mom, but it is hard work, let me tell you. It is way harder than I even imagined it could be. I think, you know, one of the biggest things that I've learned is just the sleep deprivation part of it. mm-hmm. and how much your brain struggles from it. I've definitely appreciated all those 8 to 10 hour nights of sleep I've gotten over the years of my life a little bit more. But she's great, and you know, we love seeing her change every day.
You know, I think back on our first child and those months leading up to the birthing. You know, we took those birthing classes, those couple birthing classes, and you know, all the preparation that went into that. But it was funny because once we had our son, Jack, I would be up in the middle of the night with Liz. She would be nursing him, of course, but I would try to help out in any way I could, whether it would be changing diapers or whatever. But I remember thinking, they didn't tell us about this part. I mean, they did all that other preparation for the birthing, but it's actually those sleepless nights that you're talking about that is the hardest. I don't know what they could have done to help us with that other than saying, just be prepared to have sleep deprivation.
I know. It's so funny. You know, you do all this to prepare yourself. And, you know, it's just one of those things where all babies are so different that it's yeah. almost like you just have to experience it and accept the fact that you might not know the answer, which sometimes you have to learn the hard way. But it's yeah, a process, and we're getting through it. So it's good.
So what do you enjoy the most about being a mom?
Well, I think I just enjoy seeing her every day and how much she's changed. I think, you know, one of the most amazing things watching her is just her little brain, even though, you know, she can't talk or walk or eat anything solid yet. It's just amazing to watch her change every day. She changes so much, and you can just kind of see that little brain moving every day and growing mm-hmm. stronger and smarter. So it's just amazing to watch.
Yeah, I mean, when they're little like that, it's like almost like all you want to do is hold them and just stare at them. As you were talking about, you know, even though she can't talk right now, I bet you guys are looking at her thinking, now that reminds me of you, or that reminds me of me, that reminds me of a grandparent. You know, even those little reactions and personalities that she's showing now.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone keeps saying that she looks like my husband, so I try to pull out little facial expressions every day. I'm like, oh no, that's me. But unfortunately, I think she is looking like my husband. Oh well.
I don't know. You know, it's funny because, again, speaking from experience, we were talking about this the other day. Our son is 17, Jack. And it's funny to go back and look at his pictures when he was just a few months old to when he was, you know, like 1, 2 years old, 6, 7. And he, you know, out of all of our kids, and we have 3 of them, he has made the most transition as far as even his looks. And so it's funny, you know, some kids, they always keep that certain look, you know, it always stays with them until they become an adult, but he has just transitioned so much. So you never know what she may end up looking like you in the next couple months.
I know, that is true. Well, fingers crossed.
She's going to do well to look like both of you. That's you both are handsome and pretty. Well, before coming to work at Zebra, you spent several years working in New York City. You mentioned that earlier. Tell our listeners about working and living there.
I decided after I graduated from college, which I went to school for fashion design. I went to a small school in North Carolina. I decided that I wanted to move up to New York. Obviously, that's the hub for fashion and place to be. So I moved up, was trying to find a job in fashion design, and didn't end up in the design field, but I ended up in sales and got my first job in Armani, and really started my sales career from there. And from Armani, I went to work at Michael Kors, really where I spent the past 8, 9 years working for them. So really exciting to be working in the fashion industry in New York. Loved every minute of it. I held several different positions there, from sales to merchandising to product development. So I was able to kind of combine the left and right sides of my brain and do analytical number side, but also be a little creative with the merchandising and product development aspects. So it was the perfect blend for me. And I loved every minute when I was up there. As far as New York goes, I love living in that city. It was a great place to be when I was young and, you know, exploring, learning new things. Obviously, loved all of the activities there are to do there, all the restaurants, all the different people you meet. you know, you work hard and play hard, you spend everything you make, but at the end of the day, it's such a cool experience that I think, you know, I'll look back on and always have really great memories from.
You mentioned all the different responsibilities that you had while at Michael Kors. You were involved in working with buyers, of course, as well, because you mentioned sales. So you were instrumental in seasonal planning of clothing styles. Is that correct?
Yes. So I wore a couple different hats when I was there. I worked directly with buyers. I worked on the women's ready-to-wear clothing line. So we sold to Macy's, Belk, Lord & Taylor, all the big department stores. And then we also sold to some off-price channels like a TJ Maxx or a Saks OFF 5TH as well. So we kind of span the gamut of the whole women's retail industry and planned. When I was in sales, I worked with a buyer. And then when I was in merchandising, I was in charge of, you know, planning out every SKU that we were going to sell for each season, which was a really fun process.
Yeah. When you talk about season planning, like how far out typically is fashion design? Like if you were doing that today, what would you be planning? What season would you be planning right now?
Let's see. It is April. So we would probably be working on holiday 2021. It's about 9 months to a year out, you're designing, and then the buyers come in and buy 6 months before it's actually going to ship to source.
Well, that's incredible. I mean, that's you gotta be able to have the ability to know what's going to be popular and to really kind of create that demand. It reminds me of, you know, some of the paint companies that we have spoken to, and you know, they've discussed the challenge of preparing new colors for seasons that are yet to come. And knowing what will be popular, and many of them have said that fashion has been an inspiration in that process. So that's so fascinating. So what do you enjoy doing in your spare time? Let me just say this, do you even have that anymore as a mom?
Well, it's definitely been an adjustment. Here at Zebra, we're a virtual company, so everyone works from home. And working from home and taking care of a 2-month-old has definitely tested my patience and worn me out most days, but it's exciting. I will say before we had Emma, my husband and I, we love to travel. We actually took it to the extreme and took some time off after we got married and took a little 3-month trip and went to some places abroad, which was an amazing experience. And with traveling comes, I think, of love of food. So we love to try new restaurants, explore new food. And then something that I like to do is I like to be creative. It kind of is where I kind of got into all of fashion design. I like to do random projects, crafting, decorating around the house. There's not really a particular kind of craft I like, but, you know, anything that I can get my hands on and kind of create from scratch is something I enjoy doing. And I like to just look at a picture and kind of figure out, okay, how could I make that? Or how can I change that to see what we can do in the house? It's amazing what you can do with a glue gun.
It sure is. Got to be careful not to get burnt too.
Yes, I've done that several times.
We'll talk about your crafting expertise here in a second, but when you were talking about the travel that you guys took on your honeymoon, I have to ask, because I've heard about this trip and you guys went to a lot of places. I have to ask you, what was your favorite place that you went to?
Oh, such a hard question, but I think probably Cape Town in South Africa ended up being one of our favorite places. It's just an amazing city. It's beautiful, has amazing people, great food, and just it has the culture there, lots to do. It has obviously great hiking, but also the beaches. So really, really pretty place that I would highly recommend going to if you ever have the opportunity.
Was that the opinion of both of you that South Africa was number one spot?
I think so. Yes. I think the close runner-up would be probably Australia for my husband, but we both really enjoyed Cape Town.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that. I've never been there, but the pictures are just so pretty. It's almost like every picture is a postcard.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing. And they have so many different landscapes there. It, you know, they have penguins that just walk on a beach, and it's just things that you just don't see in a lot of different places. So it's very cool.
As you mentioned earlier, talking about crafting, I want to say that we are really excited about a new venture here at Zebra, and it's on our Zebra Home Painting Instagram and the Facebook accounts, and it's called Zebra Home Crafting with Bree. You know, crafting is something you thoroughly enjoy. You are pretty excited about this, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm very excited. You know, if you've been following along on Zebra Home Painting in the past couple of months, you've probably seen some random projects that I've done, whether it was decorating a Thanksgiving table or painting a clothing rack for Emma's nursery. I've incorporated some of those short videos on there, but I'm sort of excited to make an official series that we'll commit to doing new projects every couple weeks for.
Well, tell us about a little bit about the projects themselves. What type of projects do you have coming up?
Well, we have, you know, a wide range. And I think one of the things that will make our crafting videos unique is that we're not going to focus on anything, you know, specific in terms of we're just going to focus on things for your garden or things for decorating your house. It could be anything or any trend of the moment or anything we find, you know, that will repurpose items around your house. So some of the things that I'm excited about are doing some new techniques with painting using the zebra brushes on terracotta pots that you could use outside. I'm going to try some tie-dye techniques on some shirts using the zebra brushes. Tie-dye is so big right now. I think everyone is looking to tie-dye. Using paint sticks to make some flower pot holders for your deck or patio. So just wide ranges of things that you can use in your house, outside, where you could wear them. So we're really excited about just the wide array of projects that we have coming.
Well, it's certainly something for everyone. And I know it's a broad base of those that would be interested in this type of thing. You know, I think it's important to note, too, that some of these projects as well are going to be and could be used in furniture staging. We've got, you know, a lot of furniture finishers that are listeners on this podcast. And so I know they'll be interested in that. And of course, most of them as well are into home decor. And, you know, these are great gifts as well. There's just a lot of opportunity there to be inspired, to embark on some new crafting ideas. You know, you do a great job of explaining the steps and showcasing the simplicity of the project and the fun.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm excited. I hope that, you know, they're all projects that people can take and either use them as just pure inspiration or follow along, because they should all be pretty easy and not super costly to make.
Well, and we just want to mention that we're going to be offering several of your projects as giveaways. So friends, stay tuned for that. We'll keep you posted as that unfolds. You know, as mentioned earlier, Bree, you are our sales VP of sales. Tell us about this role and what it involves.
You know, working at a smaller company like Zebra, and it's very innovative, we kind of all wear several hats here. But what my role entails is mainly sales. So speaking with buyers at all of our home improvement retail friends, like a Home Depot or a Lowe's, making sure that their orders are filled. We're constantly getting new product in, seeing what we can do to improve their customer experience. And then also reaching out to new retailers, seeing where we can increase the supply of our product, even internationally, as well as domestically. And then also coming up with, you know, partnering with you, Lane, a lot on marketing strategies. What can we do for social media and the website? How can we increase sales and make sure that we're providing the very best product and shopping experience out there for our customers?
What have you enjoyed the most about being a part of the Zebra crew now?
I actually think it has been watching you, Lane, on social media. It's something, obviously, in my personal time, I was very familiar with, but on a corporate level, really didn't have a lot of experience in, but knew how powerful it could be. And just to kind of see the impact of the close-knit community that you've built has just been amazing. And I just love hearing and seeing all the stories and reactions of all of our followers. I think it's so powerful.
You're too kind on saying that for sure. I would say that it's been a lot of fun in the last several months having another strong creative to bounce ideas off with. And I know we're both excited about the future. And it's really cool too when you think about what you just touched on, the community, because we really look at the relationships that we build with you all, our listeners, and those that are actually using our paintbrushes as our friends. And we mean that genuinely. And I think you guys know that. And so it's just been a lot of fun to get to know one another better. And it's really neat when you think about social media. I mean, so much has changed in the last 10 years, 5 years even, and things are continually changing. But to be able to build these relationships with people and to get to know them well through social media is just, I mean, it really makes it exciting, and it adds a whole new dimension to the idea of marketing and the creative aspect of business. And so we've got a lot of fun days ahead, and we're excited to unfold them. And speaking of that, tell us, Bree, a little bit about some things that we're working on that we haven't necessarily introduced all these things yet, but we're in the process. If you don't mind just sharing a few of those things, I know our listeners will be eager to hear what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. So we are working on a bunch of different things. We have some new packaging that we're launching with Home Depot this fall that we'll share through social media and the website. We are working on some new brushes as well. We have a pointed round coming down the pipe, as well as a 3-inch angled sash. And then we also are working on some artist brushes, which we're really, really excited about. And I definitely need those for my crafting videos. So we're pushing for those as soon as we can get them. We're going to be launching a new website, so be on the lookout for that. We're going to have tons of new products on there with some options to buy wearables. So things like aprons or canvas bags, t-shirts. And it's just going to be a new and improved shopping experience that we're really excited about.
The challenge for us right now is that it's a process and we want things to happen tomorrow.
Yes.
We got to be patient, don't we?
Yes. And that sometimes is not my strong suit.
Oh, well, we're in it together on that because it's not my strong suit either. Well, I know the entire Zebra crew has been excited to have you on board, Bree. You bring so much to the team, not only with your experience in New York City, but with that, your creative and innovative drive. I mean, it's been a lot of fun in the past year to have another creative voice to bring new ideas to the table and help us continue to build this amazing community of artists and painters. Thanks, Bree, and give Emma a sweet hug from all of us, would you?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lane. It's been great to talk to you today.
Who doesn't enjoy a great before and after? Well, you'll have the opportunity to submit your before and after refinishing projects and enjoy other submissions as well, because our May contest for the Zebra Review is underway, and this month's theme is before and after, of course. Make sure you tag your before and after projects that were created as of January 2020 and tag them with hashtag the Zebra Review. This probably goes without saying, but make sure you show the before and after images. They can be on one post or slides in a post. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Zebra Blogs Before and After Furniture Refinishing Podcast. Today's episode is also featured on thezebrablog.com along with contact information for today's guest. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome, and we encourage you to share those by clicking on the podcast slide in our header at thezebrablog.com. That's zebra with an I, blog.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and happy refinishing.